My guest at this time is Alireza Jafarzadeh. He's the deputy director of the Washington office of the National Council of Resistance of Iran. That's the Iranian parliament in exile. He's also the author of The Iran Threat. And perhaps even more significantly, he is the man who officially first warned the West about Iran's nuclear intentions now more than a decade ago. On Tuesday, the United States, as well as Iran and five other world partners, they announced a nuclear agreement, which the president says will stop Iran from obtaining a nuclear weapon and provide stability to the Middle East. Critics say it will do exactly the opposite, allow Iran to pursue a nuclear weapon legally and actually ignite an arms race in the Middle East. And Ali, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you very much. Always a pleasure.
What do we know for sure is the framework of this deal, especially when it comes to what Iran can do and how much oversight the United Nations or anyone else has into what they're doing?
Well, from what we know from the agreement, and I've taken a look at the quick look at the agreement, we know certain things for sure. First, the agreement does not prevent the Iranian regime from having a nuclear weapons capability. Second, it basically maintains and actually legitimizes the entire nuclear infrastructure of the Iranian regime. It puts some caps for the next 10, 15 years, but it allows the regime to build an industrialized-sized nuclear program with very little limitations in about a decade. It also allows the Iran regime to conduct research and development on advanced centrifuges, including IR-4, IR-5, IR-6, and IR-8. These are very significant, significantly more efficient centrifuges that allows the Iran regime to use a much smaller number of centrifuges in a hidden place to provide fissile material that they need for the bomb. It doesn't provide anytime, anywhere access to suspect nuclear sites, including the military sites. Instead, it basically provides a what they call a managed access with significant delays, which actually takes away the whole surprise element completely. It basically undermines the very purpose of intrusive inspections. And most importantly, after like 20 months of negotiations, this agreement doesn't include any specific arrangement to inspect the sites that the IAEA have been trying to reach, such as Parchin, such as Sapand, and it doesn't mention any need for interview with some key scientists that the IAEA again has been looking for, like Mohsen Fakhrizadeh, Fariduddin Abbasi, and a few others. But it is very specific when it comes to sanctions relief, when it comes to the kind of break that is actually provided to the Iran regime, including giving them relief in 5 to 8 years on weapons and missile trade, which is a big problem. It actually enhances the terrorism network of the Iran regime.
So, Ali, from what you've seen so far, this is a big win for Iran and a big loss for everyone else.
Well, certainly, it you know, when you have the world's leading state sponsor of terrorism having a nuclear weapons program legitimized by the international community, and something that over time they can actually expand it, not diminishing it, without having any requirement to change their behavior, is a major, major concern. It's not clear why in 10 years or in 15 years or in 5 years or in 8 years the Iranian regime can do a lot more with its nuclear weapons program than they can do now, and what is this based on? So that's why I think this is the time for Congress to get involved and do what it's tasked to do in a very bipartisan way in the 60 days time that it has to scrutinize and really investigate this deal and express its views about it.
We're talking with Alireza Jafarzadeh, the man who first warned the West about Iran's latest nuclear intentions. He's the deputy director of the Washington office of the National Council of Resistance of Iran. Ali, what about delivery systems? You mentioned that there's a delay for a few years in terms of trade in terms of weapon systems. There had been a lot of concern, obviously, about Iran's ballistic missile program, which would be its most likely vehicle for using any weapon it could potentially develop. So is that addressed at all in here?
Well, it has been addressed, but in a way that actually helps the Iran regime, because the intercontinental ballistic missile program of Iran is still in the development, and perhaps by the time that the limitations are expired, they have that ready to go. Because, you know, why do you want to have an intercontinental ballistic missile program? That's the only use for it is for delivering nuclear weapons. There is no country in the world that has so far developed ICBM without using it for nuclear weapons. And for that matter, I think it's a major, major concern. And then the missiles that the regime has been using to pursue its objectives in the region, arming the terrorist groups in the region and using it itself, why do you want to remove all those restrictions? Plus, the another break that the Iran regime is getting is that a number of entities and individuals who've been involved in terrorism and weapons of mass destruction and export of violence in the region are going to be off the list. The specially designated nationals, what they call SDN in the United States, people like Qasem Soleimani, the commander of the Quds Force, the Quds Force itself, the IRGC, Islamic Revolutionary Guards Corps, and a whole host of other entities that have been designated, you know, those limitations are going to be removed, the limitations in terms of sanctions that was imposed on them, in terms of travel ban, and all of those activities are all going to be gone. So this is something that is really significantly going to help the regime in pursuing the regional objectives, which is, you know, which is really troublesome in the biggest sense of it.
Two quick questions. Well, until before we let you go, Ali, it sounds like you've already started to answer my next question, and that's the contention from President Obama that this deal will actually prevent a nuclear arms race in the region rather than trigger one. What do you think will be the ultimate outcome in the Middle East if, in fact, Congress approves this deal?
Well, I think my first worry would be the fact that Iran will maintain its ability to build a bomb. I think the biggest concern I have is for this regime, which is already the world's leading state sponsor of terror and the epicenter of Islamic fundamentalism, arming itself with nuclear weapons, which is worse than anybody else arming itself with the nuclear weapons. However, adding to it, to that is that looking at all the countries in the region, they're thinking that Iran, the Iran regime, has now gotten away with building the nuclear infrastructure. It's been legitimized. And further down the road, maybe in 10 years or maybe earlier, they're going to get the bomb. So we might as well think about it ourselves. You know, why don't we start our own program? And why don't we just follow the same path that the Iran regime did? We would be much better off for our own protections. Because look at the countries that are all being troubled by the Iran regime when they don't have the bomb. Imagine what would things would look like in the region when the Iran regime will get the bomb.
And lastly, sir, you talked about legitimizing the Iranian nuclear program by reaching this agreement. What about legitimizing the regime itself in terms of its now stability inside the country, how the Iranian people will respond to this, the fact that the United States is recognizing this regime to the point of sitting down and making this agreement over an extended period of time? What's the result of all that?
Well, it certainly doesn't send the right signal to the people of Iran, because Tehran will be using this. The signal that the international community is sending to the Iranian people is that, you know, we are partners with the regime. And the president, unfortunately, equated the regime with the people of Iran, and he was using the word people of Iran and the Iranian government interchangeably, which is an insult to the people of Iran. The Iranian people reject this regime, and they're looking for ways to bring down, you know, the whole system. There's cries in the streets of Iran every day for regime change. There are so many political prisoners who are being jailed, even foreigners, including Americans, are being jailed in Iran. There were more executions under Rouhani while the talks were going on than it was under Ahmadinejad. The people of Iran are not getting any benefit of that will come as a result of sanctions relief. The money will actually go to the Revolutionary Guards and those who are running the show rather than the people of Iran. Iran has lots of resources, but they've been controlled by the Revolutionary Guards, and over 30% of the Iranian population live below the poverty line. So that's why I think the people of Iran would not welcome such an overture to the Iran regime. They like to see a situation that the U.S. government and other Western countries will hold the regime accountable for its rights violations, will hold them accountable for bringing destruction and misery for the people of Iran and also in the region.
Ali, unfortunately, we'll have to stop there. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us.
Thank you so much. Always a pleasure to be on your show, Greg.
Thank you, sir. Ali Reza Jafarzadeh is the Deputy Director of the Washington Office of the National Council of Resistance of Iran. That's the Iranian Parliament in Exile. His book is The Iran Threat, and he is the man who first warned the West about Iran's most recent nuclear intentions, now more than a decade ago. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.